Hello, it is October 28th, 2015. You are looking live at Kansas City, Missouri. This is episode 534 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. NBA actually started last night, so this is not really a season preview podcast as much as it is a season minus one day preview podcast. We have our own Michael Pena. Now, it is worth noting, by the way, that it occurred to me halfway through this podcast, I'd actually not asked Michael how to pronounce his last name. So if I have said it wrong throughout the entire podcast and Michael was just too polite to correct me, I do apologize for that. Or I had it right the whole time and I just showed my ass a little bit. Either way, Michael is awesome. And he previewed the All-NBA for us for this podcast. We had a blast. So assuming that Tuesday night did not, in fact, ruin everything we talked about, just imagine it as a season preview podcast. We couldn't fit it before Tuesday because of all the World Series stuff going on. But here is the NBA season preview podcast with Michael Pena. Probably. All right. First off, thank you, Michael, for doing this. I've been loving the stuff that you've been doing for us on Sports North. You kind of get, I've enjoyed the player rankings. I've enjoyed, you know, it's ready. Are you ready for the season to start? Are you appropriately? I hope that your work for Sports on Earth and along other places have you appropriately amped for this getting started?
I am extremely ready, and thank you so much for having me on. At first, I'd like to say, but yes, I am. I could not be more ready for NBA basketball, especially after kind of slogging through the preseason and summer league, which was a few months ago. I really miss the quality and the aesthetic beauty of regular season NBA basketball.
You know, and we'll just kind of wrap up last season really quickly, because it really feels like to me last year was just a terrific season across the board for the league. I think sometimes people overstate the valleys of the NBA, like the dark times of the NBA when it wasn't doing that well. But I don't think there's any question that what happened last year and what's kind of going on now, other than maybe all the injuries to guys last year, you know, it still feels like if everyone can stay healthy this year, this is going to be the NBA almost kind of at its peak.
No, I totally agree, and I think that the league has never had more talent, more top-tier talent, more superstar-level ability spread throughout kind of the top most competitive teams, especially in the Western Conference, where last year we didn't even have Kevin Durant, the second-best player in the world. He'll be back. Anthony Davis will be further evolved, and his team will be better, presumably. So I think the league this year will be even better than it was last season. And last season was probably the best year that I can remember since I started watching the league.
All right. So I like to preview the season to me, there's two different ways to preview the season. One is to look at the teams that are going to have a chance at the championship, which in the NBA always feels like it's unlike any other league. It's always a very small number of teams compared. I think it's a wide variety of teams in other leagues. But also, I like to look, you know, I mean, if you're a fan of a team that's not going to win the championship, you still want something to look forward to. So to me, I like to look at the teams. We'll start by looking at last year's eight playoff teams, starting in the Western Conference. Which team? Oklahoma City is a team that missed it last year, certainly feels like a team that's going to be in this year. If they're in, who's out? And is there another team that didn't make it last year that's going to make the playoffs in the Western Conference? And if so, who's out then?
So I think the two most obvious drop-offs are going to be the Portland Trail Blazers, who lost LaMarcus Aldridge, Nicholas Batum, Robin Lopez and Wesley Matthews, and it's kind of just Damian Lillard and a bunch of really young, inexperienced players kind of propping him up.
Come on, Myers Leonard. Don't forget Myers Leonard. My Illini Myers Leonard. I love Myers Leonard.
I like Myers Leonard too. Quality stretch four, but that's about the limitations of the compliments that we can give him right now.
Yes, that's fine. I'll take those.
Besides Portland, I think that Dallas, who was the seventh seed last year, I think they're in for a pretty bad season. I think they're headed for the lottery. And if I had to pick one team to replace I guess one of them, because we're propping up Oklahoma City. I think the Utah Jazz are that team, and I think they're a popular pick right now just because of what they did in the second half of last season. Their defense was historically great. Rudy Gobert looks like a perennial Defensive Player of the Year winner. I really love Gordon Hayward. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league, and that also applies to Derek Favors, who they're starting power forward, who's kind of that rare talent who he's in the front court and he plays a bunch of minutes, but he can't really shoot threes, and he still makes up for it with kind of tenacious rebounding, and he's one of the better defensive players at his position. So I really like Utah this year.
Are we seeing the end of Dallas? Was the DeAndre Jordan thing that not working out for them? It kind of feels like that was the only plan they had. You know, Cuban's never had a losing season since he's bought the team. But it kind of feels like if it's not this year, it's going to be if they're falling off really soon.
Yeah, I do think this is the end for the Dallas Mavericks, or at least the end where Dirk Nowitzki is kind of their best player. Defensively, he's. You can't really say anything nice about his defense, and teams are just going to put him in the pick and roll time and time again. And he doesn't have that rim protecting center anymore, that Tyson Chandler kind of player. Who, I mean, they just cut Sam Dallenberg. Not that Sam Dallenberg is a fantastic basketball player, but you look at their depth chart at center, and I mean, you have Zaza Pachulia, who can't really jump, and you have JaVale McGee. And I don't think JaVale McGee is even healthy right now. So, and he's also JaVale McGee. So Dirk Nowitzki's defense is a problem. And then you look up and down the roster, and there really aren't any above-average defenders at any position. And Wesley Matthews is obviously the lone exemplar, the lone standout who kind of contradicts that statement. But, I mean, he's returning from an Achilles injury. He looked great against the Chicago Bulls in his preseason debut, but I don't know how long that's going to hold up over an 82-game season. So I'm really not high on this team. I think their defense is going to be one of the worst units in the league, and I don't know how many minutes Dirk Nowitzki can play kind of holding their offense up together. And yeah, so I think I'm with you there, and I think this might be the end of this era.
Yeah, it feels like a reckoning for them is coming soon, because now, you know, one, they were kind of lucky, really. Like, I mean, they earned it, but certainly, like, you know, to win a title, you feel like they're just lucky that you're happy that they snuck that one title in. And I think they'll always be kind of impressive. They snuck in the title during kind of the LeBron Spurs Warriors era, as it'll turn out. But now it looks like this team. I'm curious what Cuban will be like when his team stinks. like when his team stinks and there's nothing, you know, we've never seen Cuban in that regard. Like, will he just try to spend to get out of it, or will he like accept, nope, we need to do a teardown? Maybe not a Sixers style teardown, but certainly a little bit more of a teardown. You wonder what kind of patience he'll have for the kind of rebuilding project that they're probably going to have to need to do. But hopefully they'll just make him go crazy, which I think is always be entertaining enough.
As if he's not crazy, yeah,
exactly,
as is.
exactly. All right, let's go to the Eastern Conference. Is there who do you see falling out of the playoffs of the Eastern Conference? Is it Brooklyn? Is it just Brooklyn, or is there anyone else?
I really don't like Brooklyn. I think they're one of the worst teams in basketball, and I think they're a Brook Lopez, not even a catastrophic injury away from being worse than the Sixers, just like he's out 2 months type of deal, or a month and a half type of deal, where I don't really understand or see how they can kind of float in the East without him, or even with him for that matter. I really don't like that team. Elsewhere, I mean, I really think that the competition for the 8 seed in the Eastern Conference is arguably more interesting than the West in the East. So I think the Pacers, the Hornets, the Bucks, who could be that team that falls out? The Pistons, these are all teams that I think will kind of scratch and claw for that 8, 7 or 8 seed at the bottom and could really make things pretty interesting.
And certainly it would appear that the Heat would be – a lot of people feel like they are a team that can sneak – you know, obviously with the injuries that they had last year, it didn't quite land for them. But if everyone's healthy and they can find time to rest, you know, this looks like a team that maybe is not a challenger to the Cavs, but looks like a team to me that can get one of the top four seeds in the East.
You know, I did not even mention the Miami Heat. Thank you for bringing them up and saving me.
I did it politely.
No, I appreciate that. I'm actually not as high. I feel very like a pessimist so far on this podcast, but I'm actually not as high on the Miami Heat as a lot of people. I think they're obviously going to make the playoffs, but I think the pieces aren't really fitting over there, and I don't really think that they have as much depth as a lot of people are speculating. I like Josh McRoberts. But besides that, Gerald Green has never seen a jump shot that he doesn't like. And I don't see him passing the ball at all, which is kind of key in the system that Eric Spoelstra likes to employ. And Amari Stoudemire in the front court is just, I don't think he has anything left, to be honest. And there's so many question marks. That starting lineup on paper looks tremendous, but Hassan Whiteside is a total question mark, in my opinion. And Goran Dragic and Dwayne Wade last season, when they shared the floor, Miami's defense was worse than the Minnesota Timberwolves, who ranked 30th in defensive rating. So those two kind of, you have Dragic who wants to play extremely fast. I don't know if Wade can play at that speed. And I just don't think that the pieces really fit as well as some people think.
Awesome. Well, that's I would be okay with that. I don't want Miami to be good. I'm not sure why. When you look at – how about Boston? Like, to me, I'm talking about Brooklyn even got me excited for Boston because, of course, they have their pick next year, right? So everything that Brooklyn does poorly benefits Boston. And, of course, that's the thing about Boston. It looks like they've got – They're very happy with the system. They've got a good guys in there, but they don't have that star. And it feels like the more Brooklyn loses, the closer a chance they have to get that star in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think Boston's in a tremendous, tremendous situation. They obviously have Brad Stevens, who is not actually a basketball player, but he's their closest thing
to the star.
They all play so hard on every possession, and I really like the moves Danny Ainge made this summer, upgrading from most notably Brandon Bass to Amir Johnson, which is a huge defensive upgrade. And the nightly schematic advantage that Brad Stevens kind of gives and the way he puts players in positions to succeed, what he did for Evan Turner last season, putting the ball in his hands when it kind of looked like that was not Evan Turner's destiny, was tremendous. And it really helped the Celtics because they had no facilitators on the roster. And Isaiah Thomas is kind of an absolute thrill to watch. And he's one of the most efficient scorers off the bench in basketball. And if you look at what the team did last year after they acquired him, there's really no reason to think it won't translate throughout this entire regular season. And you look at some of the projections, the 48-50 win projections, which I don't know if I'm that high on them, but I'm definitely betting the over.
I hope that Isaiah Thomas plays with Boston for a long time because it's one of my favorite Madison Square Garden's traditions. Is that every time he plays at the Garden, everybody boos him every time he gets the ball. And the first time that happened, he was so confused. He was with Phoenix, and he was so bewildered. It was so great. And so I'm a Knicks fan. I have to ask about the Knicks. Certainly, they have to be better than last year. It looks like at least they have a few halfway decent league average players around the roster this year. If Anthony's healthy, do they have any sort of hope for like an 8 seed, or are we kidding ourselves?
I think it would take two things. I would think it would take a truly miraculous season out of Carmelo Anthony, where he plays anywhere between 75 and 82 games and basically has something close to a career year. And I think that Kristaps Porzingis will have to be an immediate have an immediate impact on the team, which I'm not so sure he's ready for, which is perfectly fine. I don't think that he's a problem at all. I think he'll have a very fine career, but those two things kind of need to happen. And then also Derek Fisher really needs to kind of buy in with the idea that Carmelo is a power forward. And I'm not so sure that the way the team is constructed, that's possible. So I really like the Robin Lopez signing, and you got to play him. And I like Kyle O'Quinn. That's another nice piece in the front court. It's a little crowded up there, but Carmelo's the best player, and this kind of speaks to how they built the team. But he should really be playing a lot of his minutes at the four.
He should have just signed with Houston. He should have just signed with Houston. Everyone would be so much happier if he would have just signed with Houston.
Or Chicago.
Or Chicago, either one of them. I know, I understand. Get the money now. Worry about that later. But it's later now, and he's still there. And there's all sorts of mistakes. All right, let's look at the top side on each of these conferences. Let's start with the Eastern Conference. Is there anyone – I haven't seen anybody pick anyone other than Cleveland this year. If you had to, let's say – heaven forbid, let's say something happens to LeBron and he doesn't play in the playoffs. Who is the only other team? Who is the next team up as a team that could potentially win the Eastern Conference if something happens to LeBron, God forbid?
Yeah, I thought about this question quite a bit, and I can't decide between two teams. So you have the Chicago Bulls, and you have Hoiberg coming in, and he's kind of the innovator who's here to correct all of Tom Thibodeau's offensive woes. Jimmy Butler is a tremendous two-way player, one of the best in the league, and he's supposedly even getting better. You have Mirotic, who recent reports have him kind of starting at the four, which is, I think, is a really good idea beside either Noah or Pau Gasol. And then you have Derrick Rose, who's the ultimate variable. And if he is 80% of what he was 4 years ago, I think that team is extremely difficult to beat in a seven-game series. So there's the Bulls. And then the other team is the Atlanta Hawks, which kind of everyone seems to have forgotten about already because they lost to Montrezl Harrell in free agency. But I really kind of – I think Mike Budenholzer and his staff are good enough to kind of – piece together a wing rotation that's I don't know if it can kind of replace Carroll at all, but I think you can kind of make up for at least three quarters of what he gave on both sides of the ball. And the addition of Tiago Splitter, who I really loved for the past few years in San Antonio, who I don't think it'll be very difficult for him to kind of adjust to Atlanta's system, which is so similar to what he did with the Spurs. So I really like the looks that Splitter gives them, because they really lacked front court depth last season. And yeah, I mean, I don't think they'll win 60 games again. And I think another year of time passing for guys like Kyle Korver, Paul Millsap, and Al Horford isn't a great thing. But I wouldn't say that sleeping on the Hawks is a smart thing.
All right, so let's talk about LeBron not being hurt. Are they going to figure it out this year? What is the goal for them? Does anything they do matter until the playoffs? Do they even need to just, you know, does it even matter what their seeding is? Is 50 wins enough for them in a 3 seed as long as everyone's healthy in the playoffs?
To get out of the East, no, I don't think so. The thing that Cleveland should have their eye on, which I don't think is possible, is the getting home court in the finals. Because when they get – let's just assume that they get there. When they do, whoever comes out of the West is going to be an extremely talented basketball team. You have basically 5 or 6 options, and I don't know if I would take Cleveland over any of them, to be honest, especially – the fact that this team out of the West is going to have kind of spent a whole year battling through such a more competitive conference and going through 3 straight series that are absolute bloodbaths. So I don't know if Cleveland needs home court or if that's like something that's absolutely vital to them winning the championships this season. but it can't hurt. And yeah, I mean, they're going to be in the finals, barring an injury to one of their key guys, or even a key guy who's not LeBron.
All right, so let's go to that Western Conference. Obviously, there were a lot of teams we thought were competitors last year for the title in the Western Conference, though Golden State was clearly ahead. One of the things that was frustrating for me about all of the injuries that kind of fell in the right direction for the Warriors in the playoffs is it devalued how good the Warriors were last year and how this might have been – this was really kind of an all-time team – and that was kind of lost a little bit because LeBron didn't have these guys, and you know, and there were all these injuries and so on. But certainly, when you look at the Western Conference, to me, I look at them and I see. I agree with you. There are 5-6 teams that can win the title. Is Golden State still atop that list for you?
They're up there. My personal pick to come out of the West is San Antonio. I thought that they had a flawlessly executed offseason. And I think Kawhi Leonard is a top 7, top 8 player in the entire league. And, I mean, there's a lot of talk of assimilating a LaMarcus Aldridge into their system, their unselfish system, which I'm not too worried about. And Tony Parker's decline, which I think is – that's also an issue I'm not too concerned with, mostly because I think even if Parker isn't what he was 2 years ago, I think Kawhi Leonard's offense is blooming into something really special and will more than make up for it. So I would have to side with the Spurs and a slight edge over the Golden State Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets and teams like that. But honestly, any one of those teams coming out of the West would not surprise me.
So it's Oklahoma City, Clippers, Warriors, Houston, and San Antonio. You think those are the five?
I think those are the five. And then if you want to get generous, the Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah. But I don't think that they have enough offensive firepower to get through all those series.
When you look at a team, I'm fascinated by Oklahoma City because it's obviously Durant's an amazing player, and Westbrook made this great leap forward last year. Is there a concern with them? It seems strange to immediately elevate them back to the top tier when Westbrook, while being great last year, was a different player because Durant wasn't there. Is it unreasonable to expect them to just immediately become a top two, top three team in basketball just because Durant's back, or are people right in doing that?
No, I think people are right. Durant's that good. He's so amazing. He's just an amazing basketball player. And he makes everyone around him better. Westbrook kind of the things he did last year were amazing. He had a Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson usage rate, just historically unprecedented. But I don't think that, as we all saw, I mean, they didn't even make the playoffs. So you add Durant into the mix. He takes pressure off Ibaka. He takes pressure off Westbrook. And I mean, that trio right there is I was listening to Zach Lowe's podcast the other day, and he mentioned that trio, when healthy, has never lost a playoff series, which is true. And I think they definitely deserve the benefit of the doubt based on kind of their resume over the last few years.
Of those five teams, the one that strikes me, I think they're obviously all going to be really good, but the one that feels like is the most potentially tumultuous, like we saw this happening last year too, are the Clippers. It feels like they are the ones that need to have they've got number one overall potential. They could certainly, it feels like they, talent-wise, particularly with some of the depth they brought in, it could all work, but also they're really betting a lot on everybody behaving and getting along.
Right. I wrote a bold predictions piece for SportsCenter that should be going up sometime today, and one of them, which I don't even think is that bold, is Paul Pierce gets into a fist fight with Lance Stephenson, it wouldn't shock anybody if that happened. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. This team, I think they're really good, very talented. They have two top 10 players still, and I think Blake Griffin is probably the better of the two at this point. But the depth that they added, I don't think these pieces fit necessarily. I think Lance Stephenson, Jamal Crawford, and Austin Rivers, those three right there, that's kind of their the scoring punch that they have off the bench in addition to Pierce. But those first three all need the ball in their hands to be successful. And I don't know how Doc Rivers kind of juggles playing them and giving them minutes. I think Paul Pierce is an incredible signing. I just love that guy. I love watching him play. I can't believe he's still as productive as he is on both ends. But he's going to be coming off the bench most likely. He's a really old dude. And losing Matt Barnes may hurt kind of the continuity that they had in that starting lineup, which was the best in basketball last year. So if Wesley Johnson can capably defend, if he's the starter, if Wesley Johnson can capably defend kind of the other team's best player, and at the beginning of the first and third quarters and knock down open threes, then I don't think it'll be that big of an issue. But yeah, I just go back to kind of the names that they brought in and that they have coming off the bench are, they're big names and they're talented players for the most part, but I don't think that they fit very well.
How about Houston? I always find myself like very fascinated by Houston, and you know, so that was an impressive series win that they pulled off last year. Are they going to be better this year, worse, or about the same?
I think they'll be better, just because from the jump you have Dwight Howard being healthy, and I think he only played like 40 games last season, and then he had that injury during the playoffs, and they were still a handful of games from winning the title. So you throw Dwight Howard in the mix, who I still think is a top three center in the league. You add Ty Lawson, who is, his off-court issues have obviously kind of grabbed the headlines away from the fact that he's one of the best offensive point guards in basketball, and he really understands how to get guys involved. He's a perfect fit, I think, in Kevin McHale's up-tempo offense. He gets to the rim, he shoots threes, he pushes the pace. And what's really tremendous about this team is the depth at basically every position. You had Jason Terry playing big minutes in the playoffs last year, and now he's their third point guard. And Patrick Beverley coming off the bench is, or starting, we don't really know for sure what the deal is with him and Ty Lawson, but Pat Beverley coming off the bench is, to harass guys is just, that's a tremendous weapon. And yeah, I mean, Clint Capella has looked tremendous in the preseason. You have Terrence Jones, who's an athletic freak, and James Harden, who I think should have been the MVP last season. Not that it really matters that much, but he's one of the five best players in the league and seems to be getting better. So I love Houston.
Are there concerns with Aldridge on San Antonio? Obviously, he's a big talent, but he's not really. You don't, when you think of Aldridge, you don't necessarily think of a Spurs type of player. He needs the ball a lot. Is he going to be able to fit in with what they're doing, or do you just kind of trust Popovich to figure that out?
No, I definitely give Popovich the benefit of the doubt when it comes to just about anything. And you kind of watch Aldridge in the preseason, and he's making the extra pass. He's hesitating before shooting, and it looked like he was kind of almost too tentative to kind of fit in and be one of the guys. And I think that's a really good sign. I think that he's kind of accepting that he's not going to get 20 shots a night, and he's probably not even the best player on the team, to be honest. I think Kawhi Leonard is. But it was really cool that he kind of sacrificed a lot of stuff. He sacrificed money, he sacrificed touches to play for the Spurs, and I think he did it for a reason, and I don't think that it'll be as big of an issue as anyone kind of speculates that it might be.
All right, so that gets us to, I guess we've discussed most of those teams. Is Golden State, I guess, is the last one we're really looking at there. To me, are they better this year? Can they be better this year? You know, one of the things last year, they would almost get up by too much. I think some people thought that would actually hurt Curry's numbers at the end of the year. He wouldn't play fourth quarters. Are they going to have to fight more this year just because there are a few people hurt all around them?
Yeah, I think last year there was kind of a dream season for them in a lot of ways. They were they had supreme health. They had really no key injuries except for the biggest injury of all, which is in the preseason with David Lee, which vaulted Draymond Green into the starting lineup. I think an additional year on Andrew Bogut's legs, an additional year on Andre Iguodala's legs could they could see a little bit of decline. But from there on out, you have Harrison Barnes getting better, Klay Thompson's getting better, Curry is Curry. So, yeah, I mean, the Golden State Warriors, I don't think that they'll have kind of the double-digit point differential that they had last season, but they'll still be one of the first or second-best teams in the Western Conference.
All right, so who's your pick then? So you've obviously got Cleveland in the NBA Finals. Before we get to that, who's your MVP this year?
That's a really good question. I think I'm going to go with Well, I had LeBron for the past couple of weeks, and then recently he's made a lot of comments about how he's not going to really push himself in the regular season, and he might sit out for an extended stretch again. So I'm kind of crossing him off the list. But I think I'm going to roll actually with James Harden. And I think that he'll be even better this year. I think that Ty Lawson will do wonders for kind of his energy and his conditioning, and you'll see a better player on defense than ever before. And I don't think that his counting numbers will be maybe as impressive, but I think the Rockets have a position to are in a position where they can really battle for that number one, the number one seed in the West. And if they do get that, I think that in a combination with the narrative that he was potentially robbed last year, which that's a very strong word. But you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I think throw all those in a pot, and I think Harden could get it.
No, I don't really like asking rookie of the year questions because it's always, well, who's going to get the most minutes and who's going to end up putting up the biggest stats. So which rookie are you most excited to watch this year?
There are a few, but I think the top guy is Mario Hezonja on the Orlando Magic, and I'm really hoping he plays at least 25 minutes a night because I think he's just a special kind of draw. Just watching him, the cockiness, the persona, his ability to shoot threes, his ability to dunk over basically anybody. I think he could be the most exciting minute-to-minute player. And so he's probably my number one watch. But then you have Okafor and Towns and these guys. Amudie in Denver should be fun. The Kristaps Porzingis experiment in New York will be a joy. So I think there's a lot of really talented rookies, but Hezonja's kind of my guy.
All right, so let's get your finals pick. Obviously, you have Cleveland in there. Who's coming out of the Western Conference?
Man, I think it's the Spurs. Yes. I think they get another one this year, and I think Kawhi Leonard gets his second Finals MVP. I just love kind of everything about this team. I always have. I've always respected the crap out of them, and to see the moves that they made in the offseason. You had David West taking the veterans minimum to play for them. It just feels like another one of those years where the Spurs are just like locked and loaded to win it all.
You know what? I'm never going to be impressed until they win two in a row. I'm just not. You're not a real dynasty until you win two in a row.
Totally fair.
Of course. I agree. That is obviously fair. All right, Michael. Thank you very much. I'm very excited. Enjoy this the start of this. I'm very excited. I'm actually going to be – thank you for the World Series schedule. I'm actually going to be at the Garden for their first home game against the Hawks, which I am very excited about. So,
awesome.
The two teams I pay the closest attention to throughout this year, which ordinarily – well, I always joke that when I – because, you know, my one New York team is the Knicks, because when I moved there, I didn't grow up with the team. So when I moved there in 2000, I thought, you know what? I need a New York team. I'm going to do this in Atlanta. Now that I live in Athens, I'm going to do this in Atlanta with the MLS team because I have no MLS team. So I'll hold off and I'll wait for the expansion team to get there. So I picked the Knicks thinking, because, you know, it had been a difficult 15 years for the Cardinals. And I thought the Knicks have been really good, and I need someone to be good. I want a team to root for that will be good for the next 15 years. And of course, that was in the year 2000. Everything completely fell apart.
Won the lottery.
Yeah, really, really. What a wonderful team. I could have literally picked any other team except for maybe Minnesota. And it would have worked out better for me. But all right. But that said, I'm very excited to have this going this year. I couldn't agree with you more. This is every NBA season exciting, but this one feels like a lot of things are coming together perfectly to have a pretty terrific year, which means, of course, this year will be amazing and next year will be amazing. And then there will be a strike that lasts 4 years.
No, don't say that.
I know. I'm sorry. I actually feel like they're working more with each other than I thought they would be at this point. So maybe that's a good thing. I apologize for doing that, but you know, it's just the way it would work. Anyway, Michael, thank you. thank you very much for coming on and chatting with me.
Thank you so much for having me, Will.
Okay, everyone, make sure to follow Michael on Twitter, by the way, at Michael V. Pina, MichaelVPina. And, of course, you can see his work on Sports on Earth. And then hang around, because tomorrow we will have Michael goes through the Will Leeds Trivia Gauntlet Challenge. Yes, we have a trivia. We've not done a trivia in a while, so Michael is the lucky recipient for that. So that'll be fun. So, Michael, you will compare you against all the people in podcast history to see how you do. But first off, mostly just thanks for coming on with me, and thanks for hanging out.
Thank you so much once again.
All right, so everyone as always, the music is by the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes, and then come back tomorrow for Michael on Trivia. Be safe, all.